listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So, it's all forgotten.
Hello, now it's working. Hello.
Hello.
Did we do a... Yeah, we did one in the new year already, so we don't have to wish anybody a happy new year.
No, that's all done.
We're back at the DMTF podcast. I'm very, very happy that Simon could get off his deathbed to join me for a final episode.
It was a struggle.
Don't mention the podcast.
But I had to for the listeners.
Don't mention the football podcast. Today, we have for you the away game at Stuttgart, the home game against Dortmund. And we're going to talk about some players, namely Sinan Kurz, Mitch Weiser, and Genki Haraguchi. Simon, what can you tell us about the game in Stuttgart? Match day 18, if I'm not mistaken?
It was, absolutely correct. Well, what can you say about that game?
Nothing.
It wasn't a fun game to watch.
Was it that bad?
It was fairly bad, really, to be honest. What featured in that game? Mario Gomez came back to Stuttgart.
Yay!
He was
good for him.
Apparently, he was away for what, 8.5 years or so, and then he sloped back.
He won the championship in 2008 or 2009. Then he went to Bayern, of course. Where else would you go? Greetings to Leon Goretzka. And then he went to Italy and Turkey, and then he came back to Wolfsburg for half a season.
And now he's at Stuttgart.
He's back in Stuttgart. But I listened to a podcast I will also be appearing on tonight. And they said that getting Gomez is... if you talk about the whole plan for the future, it's more like an emergency trade than let's get him, he will be good in 10 years and we can sell him in 5 years or something like that. So Gomez is in his 30s, but he wants to probably he was injured, I guess, or he was not even considered for the World Cup in 2014, and
I missed out on that completely, I think.
You or him? Did you miss out on it?
No. He did.
Die Mannschaft. And he was there in 2016.
Strangely, I wasn't called up, though. Yeah.
Maybe next time we can try to get accredited as press. But I don't want to... Who wants to go to Russia and who wants to go... wants to go to Qatar? Nobody. What's the next World Cup? The next European Championship is going to be... But we're digressing.
Yes, we are.
Mario Gomez, 33 years old, I guess. And how did he do...
Well, he didn't do... He was involved in a goal, but, he put a header in fairly early, I seem to recall. I think the English commentators were saying that, he's got an aerial threat and what have you.
Because it's big.
And just after that, he did knock a header in, which was... I can't remember if it was on...
It was offside. Was it offside?
It was offside. There was something wrong with it anyway.
I think it was offside.
I don't think it... It either missed the target or Jahrstein had it anyway. One of the two.
Oh, Jahrstein's awesome. We have to talk about... Mario Gomez. I think Akolo... I keep forgetting the name, but one of the guys... of course, he is in Germany and he needs to have a Aufenthaltsgenehmigung.
I have no idea what that is.
Being allowed to stay in a foreign country. For you, it's different because you're still in the EU. But if you weren't, you need to go to the...
work visa.
You know, work visa.
It's equivalent of a green card, presumably.
And they didn't get it in on time. And they didn't send it to the... They didn't send it to the German Football League in time. And now he can't play.
What silly billies.
He couldn't play in Mainz. Anyway, Stuttgart... I have to be honest, I didn't even watch the game. Why didn't I? Anyway, didn't watch it.
I watched it. I mean, the first, it was a pretty, pretty naff game, I think, really, overall. There was a couple of chances for Hertha in the...
Yeah,
in the first half. I mean,
oh, and Kalou with the header at the end.
Lazaro hit the post, which is sort of fairly decent chance, I guess. And then a little bit later, Selke did a long run down the right-hand side, looked to pass in towards Kalou, who I think he just hit it straight at the keeper. pretty well. And I think later on he also had another header chance. This time it was coming in from the left. I don't know.
From the left, and he was right in front. And he said,
and he knocked it right over the bar, didn't he?
I read an interview and he said that he thought that that there were people around him, so he wanted to do it extra hard.
Yeah.
And then he just realized that he was all by himself, so he just could have touched it, touch and go, and it's in.
Yeah.
But he had it over. And I also think that Zelke was not happy with Kalou, but we're going to talk about the Dortmund game later.
Yeah.
How was Arne Meyer doing, apart from running the most kilometers?
I didn't notice really, to be honest. I mean, it was a while ago now. He didn't sort of pop up in my mind. I mean, I've mentioned the ones that Lazaro, Zelke. It was really a bit of a naff game. I mean, the goal was just
a cactor, as you know.
Yeah, a cactor, most definitely. It was just a bit of a mess. I mean, Gomez was there, but it wasn't him that kicked it. I mean, Stark was trying to clear it, I think. Kicked it up, and unfortunately, it went right over the top of Jahrstein and into our own net. It was horrible, really. Horrible. I don't blame Stark. I mean, these things happen, but hey, what can you do? Just horrible.
But it always happens to Stark.
Horrible game. Horrible game.
One to forget.
Yeah.
And when we were texting, they said we would have to talk about the Rückrunde curse.
Yes.
Which I think is way too early.
Well, what can you say? I mean, at the time, I mean, the Rückrunde curse for Hertha, or the curse of the Rückrunde, is still there. Because we lost that one game.
With an Eigentor, yeah.
And, that makes it worse in a way, I don't know.
And
then we've got Dortmund to come up as well. I still think the jury's out. We've got a long way to go, but who knows? Who knows?
Bremen will be a shitty game. It's going to be interesting to see what... I have the feeling that Hoffenheim is somehow falling apart. I mean, they won the game, but they're not really good anymore. And now they lost Sandro Wagner. How can they ever win?
Oh, well, I mean, they're doomed. They're doomed.
Because you want to talk about him later, what about Mitchell Weiser? How did he do?
Again, I can't remember anything.
That's not anything good.
That he did.
It's only good if you're a referee.
And not being noticed at all in any capacity is probably not a good sign.
Unless you're a referee.
I'd say more about him in the Dortmund game, which is what we're going to go on to next, I suspect.
And maybe we should go there pretty fast because nobody really...
No, Stuttgart's probably best to get about that one, I think. So.
Okay. Shitty game, lost. Oh, but Dade was pretty... ta-da, happens. Next. Okay, now BVB game. We were there.
We certainly were.
What happened? Oh, yeah. It wasn't sold out.
No.
So bad.
I did look it up, because I always tweet about the numbers there. It was 65,893. 93 was very important, that last one. So it was pretty full, to be fair, but not...
Yeah, but I think it's not necessarily Hertha's problem, but it's Dortmund's problem. Because they used to be up by 5 in the championship, and now they're down by 15, or I think it's 17 now.
Yeah.
And also Friday night's game are always shitty because the families don't come. And seriously, it's 8:30... So,
admittedly, I was feeling a bit rough, really, that day. Anyway, but it was a misty, sort of grotty, sort of night. I mean,
murder mystery weather.
It is sort of, you kind of expect Jack the Ripper to come out of the mist. Or
yeah.
It was that kind of weather. So it wasn't particularly inviting for people to come out, even though it was a comparatively big team to be facing. But hey, it was. I thought it was a good game to watch.
We had our new friend Sabine with us. She was... I met her at a project, and she's on Twitter at Knipper1892.
Ah.
And she said that when she was coming in, You know, there's always this little stage where one of the injured players or one player who can't play is there. Yeah.
And somebody who's been banned, they'll get them to do autograph duty as a punishment. Yeah.
Well, somebody who's injured. And they had Palco Dada there, and she said that Dada said that we're going to win the game and the goal will be scored by Anamaya. And I think Anamaya is one of the things we really have to talk about. I think we have to talk about the double six, the two of the defensive midfielders who are really great. Anyway, greetings to Sabine, and let's start with the game. I mean, Dortmund in the past years has been good. I think I remember winning one. I think, okay, we lost one in the last game that Lewandowski played for Dortmund. They won 3-0. And then, but it was Rückrunde, last game of the season. And then we won one game when we had still, when Lukai was still here, and Julian Schieber put one in the net against his former team. And then we had a 1-1. Then we lost the cup game, of course, which never happened. And then last year we won 2-1, right? Goals by Kalou and the free kick rocket by... Marvin Plattenhardt, also somebody to talk about. Marvin Plattenhardt was outstanding in that game. I mean, for his, he was very motivated. He dribbled the ball. You know how I always complain that he gets the ball, steps on it, and then goes on. So he was really...
No, there's a few people that I think did well in that game. We can talk about.
The game started.
During the course.
What happened? In the first half, I felt that Hertha had these two different defensive assignments. One was that they would always have somebody... You know, what Dortmund does, they play the ball out to the wings. Then the winger goes to the baseline and then knocks it in. And then something happens. But they couldn't get the balls out there. Whenever the long ball came, either... I don't know, but Niklas Stark must have had 15,000 headers in that game. Every ball that came in, he headed it out.
Yeah.
Except for that one where everybody started dozing off and they got the goal.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a good game. I like the passing. The thing is that if you have...
Some of the passing was really good, actually. I think they must have been working on that, because it was quite noticeably so.
But it's also because I think we have... Lustenberger was a centre-back, because we still have...
I think he did very well as well.
He did very well.
I mean, 10 minutes in, he made an absolutely critical block and things. But he did loads of stuff like that. He had a cracking game, must he?
And he won a challenge against Isak, who's 17 or 18, and he's 31 or something like that.
Yes, he seems to have been at Hertha forever, must he? But,
He
did very well that night.
He came in 2008.
Well, there you go. 10 years, long time. Long time in one club.
He played a good game. And I think it's because the two defensive midfielders are... because Lustenberger was not there. They played with Schelbred, who did very, very well defensively and offensively, and who almost got a goal.
Yeah.
And Arne Meyer is also... We said that before, over and over, that he's offensive-minded. But Hertha didn't get... That one counter attack where Zelke slipped and he was about to get the ball in a good position. But the passing, they had these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
short passes. It was pretty looking beautiful. Quite good. If they can keep that up over the runder, that'll do them no harm at all.
Yeah, but then in the box they always fucked up. They either waited too long, or Mitchell Weiser took a shot that went all the way to the Alte Försterei. And hit the ball there. Yeah, but the game wasn't bad.
For listeners that don't know, that's where Union Berlin plays.
Yeah, and it's about, 20 kilometres away.
Yes, it's off in the woods in the distance. So.
On the other side of town.
On the other side of town.
Yeah. So we went into halftime with... also, Jahrstein is injured.
Yeah.
We'll be out for a couple of weeks, and we have
muscle injury. Wasn't
muscle
it?
Injury.
Mm.
I think he tore something in his Oberschenkel. Upper.
In his
thigh.
Yeah, it is thigh. Yeah.
Sorry.
In his quads.
I was really shitty in biology. And,
not enough space to tear a muscle. But
so we had Kraft.
I heard some people were maligning Kraft before the game.
Me.
Including Anna. Anna, you were proved wrong. But he's a good keeper. Jarstein's excellent, of course, but he's a good keeper. And they were sort of saying, oh, no, he's going to be terrible because Kraft's in goal. No, I disagree.
But he used to be worse. Yeah, there was an article on Immer Hertha. Greetings. Yeah, because Immer Hertha was always so nice to talk about us on their podcast. So we're going to return the favor if you want to hear a concise, journalist-made podcast. Listen to Immer Hertha. Immerherthr. Which is also a long-standing blog that's been there for, I don't know,
forever.
A gazillion years. Yeah. I think they started in 1893.
Really?
That's yeah, but, no, but so Hertha has, but Kraft used to be worse. I can tell you, because it used to be the fact that
when he first lost his place, people were sort of thinking, oh my God, because he was a good keeper.
He had some weaknesses, especially in opening up the game,
in distribution,
and what when he kicked off the ball, it was always out of bounds. That's another thing.
He also had a habit. Marjorie Jarstein did the same thing for a long time. He always used to hoof it up the pitch towards Kalou, mm-hmm. every single time. And of course, all they did—they just sat on Kuk. Whoever we were playing, they just sat on Kalou, and that was the end of that. So,
I just realized how many balls they just kick the long ball, and Zelke gets everything. He's huge. He's close to.
He's a beast, I think.
6'7" or something like that.
What they describe? He's not 6'7", surely, is he? He's tall, but he's got a really unusual running style. I think I'll say
he looks
that
so
to Nico
slow, but
before,
he's fair.
No, it's quite weird because
it looks slow.
It looks like he's going along slow because he's got such long legs.
Yeah,
he seems to cover the ground so quickly. It's an unusual running style to produce that speed.
That's what Henry said.
I don't know how he does it, but.
I think Henry said the same thing.
Bring it on, I say.
I think he's 190 something, but I don't know how much that is in.
It's about what? You 190, so it depends on 90 what?
192, so it would be 6'5.
Quite tall.
You do 6'5, right? Oh, how do you do it?
Yeah.
I remember because Jordan was 6'6. Pippen was 6'7". Anyway,
that's tall, isn't it, for a football?
That's
ball.
Why he gets all the high balls. He gets them. He just stops it and then he puts it somewhere. Okay, on the left side we had Plattenhardt. Was it Kalou on the left? Must be.
Can't picture where. Certainly, some of the time he was playing on the left. Yeah.
I mean, they always switch, but
yeah.
But who was on the right? Yeah, but Kalou went out and then Lecky came in the second half.
Mm.
It would... Often. We had Plattenhardt and Kalou because Lazaro was on the
right. Lazaro's on the right.
Yeah.
And Weiser was doing Weiser-y things on the left, was he not?
What was he doing?
I noticed a lot of the time he would be expecting the ball to be passed to him. Up on the left-hand side, and he was throwing up his hands.
Kalou or Weiser?
Weiser.
On the left-hand side?
I think it was the left-hand side.
But he's right.
Perhaps I got that. Perhaps I was just thinking in the second half when they were... Oh.
Let's just go with throwing up his hands, waving for the ball.
Yeah, and he was throwing his toys out the pram because people weren't passing the ball to him, and then he kept on... When he did get hold of the ball, he...
Yeah, he didn't have a good game.
Didn't do great things.
And he wasn't there when at the Leipzig game. He was injured.
Mm.
Or he was purposely hurt by somebody. Yeah. Yeah, I think he got a... Not that I care, but he got a D. Yeah, a D from kicker.
A D minus.
No, a D.
A D minus for effort.
I don't know what's wrong with him. My wife said it's because he... Oh, she was... she was fuming later in the second, was complaining about him. I think she said that he scored the... you know, he's got this one goal to win the U21 championship. Yeah. And now he thinks he's good. I think he's going to go to Liverpool or somewhere after the season. It's already... So that's why
he's... that one goal, it was a very important goal. And it looked very impressive. But what it actually meant... Yeah, it was a header, wasn't it? That went right over the top into the top left-hand corner.
You mean the U21 final?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he scored the goal.
But it was... I'm not convinced he meant it to
the only
there,
goal.
Really.
The only goal. But, it's funny if a guy like Weiser... scores with a header. It's like this one goal last season with Darida scoring with a header. He's like 160 something, which is 5'9" or something like that.
Yeah. Well, Kalou scoring that against Leipzig. That was a because he's a little lad. But Harry outjumped anyway. We've talked about that before.
Oh, we always talk about that one.
that was fun.
Okay, we had a halftime no goal scored, and then after the halftime. Our guests, who were really rude, because they booed into our song in the beginning.
Mm. They booed the players out as well, didn't they?
Yeah. They did some entertainment.
Yes, they had some very colourful entertainment that was meant that a lot of their fans couldn't actually see what was happening for the first part of the match.
Which was good for them.
There was some significance to that. Did you see?
Yeah, there was a 15 year anniversary of some ultra group.
Right.
I forgot the name.
It was
anniversary.
Green.
It was green, yellow, and red. I guess.
Yeah, it was traffic lights, wasn't it?
And I was complaining because it's not even their team color.
So, but anyway, there's lots of flares, lots of smoke.
Oh, did you see the picture? And there's a of course what happened afterwards.
The picture because I know the picture you're talking about. It yeah. was I Anna. Saw it being tweeted by
Anna
Karlsruhe. Yeah, well she copied it and
copycat.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it was a Karlsruhe fan Twitter account where I first saw it, and I retweeted it because I noticed Darwin Ball or what have you. They retweeted it.
I just take it for a rainy day, and I'll bring it out when we have a rainy day.
It was a cracking. I don't know who took it. It wouldn't have been that fan. It must have been a professional somewhere. Yeah.
So what was happening?
Absolutely superb.
While the firework was going on, and of course, then you start not seeing too much in the other half, and I'm sure that no Dortmund fan saw what happened. And I was looking. I was actually looking at the pyrotechnics, and then all of a sudden, everybody was screaming.
I was filming the pyrotechnics, and I just stopped filming.
Yeah, I know.
A few seconds beforehand.
So it was a ball from the middle to the right to Lazaro, who just played in a pass, and...
Yeah, Lazaro knocked it in. Selke was there.
With authority.
Bang. And the photograph that we were just talking about was Selke doing his celebration. He jumped up in the air, as he very often does, but it had all the pyrotechnics in the background. Superb photograph.
It looks like somebody scoring a goal in a war zone.
It was just it was a fantastic
Maybe we
photograph.
Should put that in the show notes. Mm.
Best photograph I've... Selke. Yeah, footballing photograph I've seen for a long, long time.
Yeah, pretty good. Ah, yeah, Selke. And then we were even better. We scored... the second goal. But then we didn't.
We didn't. Yes, just got all excited and then it wasn't.
Ellis. Did you
was that the Kalou doodah one?
It wasn't the little one Kadoodled and then Kadoodle. Kalou did. And the thing is, people have been discussing that I think I only saw a replay once.
Hmm.
So of course on the field I was so excited I didn't even see that there
no.
was. It must have been offside, but then
if it's the one that I'm thinking of, because
it's Kalou coming from the left.
I saw it on the Saturday evening.
Yeah,
I saw a replay of it, and what appeared to happen, Kalou was made a shot coming in.
Well, very very.
It was fairly sort of limp.
It was a bit like the pass by Erslein.
It wasn't clear whether it was a shot or whether it was a cross.
I think he didn't know either.
It was somewhere in between the two, I think.
And the defender was coming in, so he could have stopped that one. And then Duda just touched
Duda, in an offside position, booted it in, which of course killed it. But hey.
Hey.
I mean, some people at the time were sort of, or close to the time, were saying that
upset
Kalou's... it was a shot and it was going in. And Duda, but looking at it from what I can say, I'm not convinced I was going in anyway, really, to be fair.
One thing I'm not happy is, you know, for the video assistant referee, one of the things they wanted to introduce was calibrated lines, so you could always see if there was a was an offside position, but those things don't work. They haven't been working all season and they're not going to work for the rest of the season. Because Hawkeye reportedly or allegedly messed up, and so we don't have these lines. It's just, no, it would have been easier for the some referees to help you. If you have a calibrated line, you can always tell it's offside.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Yeah, and then I think what changed was that Isak came in. Isak is, as far as I know, he is the new... what's his name? The Swedish guy? Who's the Swedish great? Ibrahimovic. He's really, really, really young. And he came to... What's their name? Came to Dortmund. And he must be really, really young. And I only read that Ursfeld, who is covering Dortmund for ESPN...
Mm.
Hello. Stefan Gussfeld he always writes about Isak, but I think it's more of a joke. He always tweets Isak, and he was pretty good. When he came, he started the whole, there were scenes when I was thinking, oh my god, how can Dortmund play such great football in one game and then in the same game do all these stupid mistakes? They sometimes ran out of bounds. There was this one cross that Schürrle didn't see, and then it hit him on the head. Stupid.
I mean, the first sort of 60 minutes or so of that game, I felt that Hertha could have won it.
Yeah, easily.
But it didn't end that way in the end. I mean, the last 10 minutes or so, it was hanging on to grim death, I think, really.
Yeah.
There were several sort of good saves from Kraft. I've already mentioned that sort of Lustig did some pretty good defending. Stark did well. There was a penalty shout as well, wasn't there?
In the end?
Near the end.
Yarmolenko?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still, you know the story
I had a good look at that.
Elephant who goes into an anthill and then all the ants are trying to beat him down and he just shakes himself and they all fall down and then they all... Only one stays there and strangle him, Erwin, strangle him. You know, he's like 10 centimeters bigger and he weighs 40 pounds more than him.
I mean, Lustig did have a hand on him, but it looked to me as if he just threw himself down looking for it.
I mean,
a dive would be strong to say that, but there is no way that Lustig brought him down.
But we couldn't have been upset if they gave it as an...
Well, you say it's given, but I don't think it was, personally, but that's just my opinion.
The thing is that Isak came for Götze in the 67th minute, and in the 17th they scored the goal.
Yeah.
And then we were...
It was about that sort of time where the tide sort of turned, didn't it?
And then we were in trouble.
Yeah.
And then Weiser got a yellow card for kicking the ball away. For the second time in the game.
That's always a stupid thing to do. I mean, why people do that, I don't know.
Stupid.
Stupid, 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 stupid.
And then they brought in Lecky, whom I always saw once. He didn't.
He didn't set the world on fire.
And then Hertha was really in trouble at the back.
Yeah, things started going a bit wrong, didn't they?
But the thing is, after the first goal, they started going back. They should have... pressed on and gone. But there was one scene where Dortmund was coming over the right at the half of the field of the pitch, and Arne Meyer, he came in and he wrestled the ball back from one guy and said, oh my god, big balls, really. And I always liked the idea of Schellbrett and Meyer in the defensive midfield. They were really, really good. They got the balls back. They played.
They're battling.
Clever offensive passes.
Yeah.
It's not like the, you know, they always call it the double six of terror when Shelbred and Lustenberger play. But I think Shelbred has way more offensive potential than people see.
Yeah.
I think he used to be an offensive midfielder when he played with Rosenborg Trondheim, the FC Bayern München of Norway. They won all the championships. Yeah, so then Duda lost the ball after the ball had been cleared. Right?
Mm.
And then Isak got the ball, and somehow everybody in the box just slept. They were like, it looked like they thought the ball was out of bounds.
And all the things that had been doing really quite well earlier on, they didn't for that brief period. And there you go. I think it was Kagawa, wasn't it?
Kagawa scored the goal.
Put it in.
And that's the problem. If, you know, if against a team like Dortmund, if you snooze, you lose.
Yeah. Before, on the whole, snoozing when you're playing football is not a good idea against anybody.
Three or four people. It was Lustenberger who didn't look back. It was Kalou who stood there and watched Kagawa go by. Yeah, and then we got lucky to escape with a point.
Yeah.
Especially if
you... Before the game, though, if it, you know, waiting around, you know, before the game, sort of meeting up with people, if anybody had sort of floated the idea, okay, we're going to offer you a point now, I think everybody would have just gone.
Yeah, I think so too.
So,
that's true. Yeah, and I looked at the statistics at the XPG and... it was really, really grave against Hertha.
Mm-hmm.
When was that game? Ah, here. I'm just looking up again. I can't find the team stats. There was something by 1.8 or close to 2 against 0.6 for Hertha. So what Hertha does is they keep proving XPG wrong. We always win games we have no business winning, or they score points when they have no...
And we lose ones where we perhaps should do. That's the unfortunate thing.
So, yeah, Stuttgart for
you. Getting
Stuttgart was a classic draw, and we lost it.
It should have been a draw, really. It was just cactus. What can we say?
Kalou should have scored, and Lazaro hit the post. Yeah. Okay, shall we wrap up the
game? Wise, done, sorted. Yep.
Very good. Now I have Kurt Weiser, Genki. And I also took down Plattenhardt and Jahrstein while we were talking. Shall we go from front to back, or what's... How?
Well, I've said all the ones that I wanted to sort of say about. I mean, I think
Kroos... No, you had more. You had more about Weiser.
Oh, Weiser.
You were...
I said about Weiser as well.
You were going crazy on Twitter.
I'm not convinced by him at all, really. He does tend towards...
laziness.
On the lazy side.
Laziness.
I think I think he thinks he's better than he actually is. Perhaps, you know, scoring like that goal for the under-21s has sort of gave him the impression that he's better than he really is, and he doesn't have to work at it, and he expects to just be given it.
He has a court light problem.
He has a what?
Court light. Kurt is the same, but way, way worse.
Huh.
You know, I'm a big talent. I don't have to do anything. Everything comes flying to me. I don't have to practice hard and listen to the coaches.
Mm.
He's overweight. And Weiser, but the thing is, we had to have three players who played in the U21. It was European Championship, right? And Stark played with a broken rib, so he was out for a couple of weeks. Selke got injured he scored a goal in the semi-finals, and then he got injured and was out for 2-3 months.
Mm.
Something like that. July, August, September, October. Yeah, works. And Weiser was the only one who wasn't injured, but he's either overplayed or he's has a confidence problem.
Mm.
In the way that he's too confident in his play. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, what's your problem with him?
What do I think? Well, he is lazy. He's not getting back quick enough has cost us a few goals recently. And I don't like it when you see a player... I mean, everybody will do it to some extent, but sort of throwing their hands up in horror that other people haven't passed the ball to him.
That's the meme. Of
overinflated ego.
Yeah, and what he used to do, he used to just pass the ball and then do, oh, what was the AB? No, 1-2? 1-2. Yeah, he did 1-2s and now he holds the ball and then he runs into three defenders and loses the ball.
Yeah.
Like he always does this with the wrong thing and the wrong, a bit like Kalou, but he's worse than Kalou. Kalou sometimes just does stupid stuff. You know, if he had passed more balls the second half, he could have scored 2 or 3 goals. Because if somebody is in a better position, you just pass the ball. But he just... Yeah. Sometimes he runs with his head down and doesn't see anything, like Forrest Gump.
Run, Forrest, run!
Kalou Gump. Salomon Gump. Yeah.
Anyway, that's that.
I think Weiser will be gone after the season, and I don't really... I'm not going to miss him much. He used to play way better in the past when he started with Hertha.
Yeah, I think so.
He was really... He was hustling a lot, and now he just... No hustle, Weiser.
But that's not a skill thing. I think it's a mental attitude thing, which, you know.
And whenever
given the right circumstances, that he could get himself out of that. So
and whenever we get scored against, you see him slowly running after a defender. Because when I was playing basketball, they always said, "Okay, you always have to be between the player and the basket." But he's not.
No, which has cost us a few goals.
And I was upset that he should have put in Pekarik at the half. But I think he had something. He was training. He was practicing in the locker room last week and on Wednesday or something. So there must have been something wrong. I don't know.
Because he had an injury from Leipzig. He got booted then. So
big time.
I don't know whether he's still.
They should do something against that, I think, because there's so many.
If they were going hard to, they would have
fouls. Maybe something, somewhere somebody fouls somebody really hard and brutally. He should be out as long as the other player is out. That would be a nice idea.
Yes.
Also, one idea. So speaking of the game, one idea we had. There were so many Stuttgart Wolfsburg Dortmund fans so close to the Ostkurve, and I talked to it about people, and we were talking in the group, and Sorgenkind said that he sent us a picture of people, you know, the little glass plastic fence next to the Ostkurve. There were people in Dortmund jersey standing right outside the Ostkurve. So we were thinking about putting a petition for the next members meeting, asking to ban them, because I know others.
It happens to Hertha that people, you're not allowed to go wearing a Hertha shirt.
I went to Augsburg. In Augsburg, you were only allowed to wear Hertha gear in the away block.
Yeah.
That would be nice against Dortmund.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe we. I have to look into it. I have to ask my lawyers, our legal department.
Yes.
Yeah. So Weiser is. Thumbs down or, declining, not making us happy. And in the good games, he wasn't there. Okay, I just read on Twitter about Genki. Genki extended his contract with Hertha BSC. You know, there was the whole thing that he had an offer and he rejected it because he wanted to go to the they were about to sign it. Then he changed his agent.
Right.
And then he didn't sign it, but he wanted to go to the Premier League. It never happened. Then I think last summer...
Brighton were looking at him at one point.
Brighton Hove Albion.
But they took notice of my tweets and didn't take it.
I told you you were scouting.
Sorry, Genki. I've just scuppered your chances there.
Would be funny. You could have been his personal assistant over there. Hey, Genki, this is Cake and this is Fika.
Yeah, Fika rules.
Fika is the Swedish coffee break.
Yeah, with cake.
Coffee and cake, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the Simon diet.
Yes, that's all I eat. It explains the shape of me, I think.
Simon is not fat.
No.
I'm
working at it, though.
Okay, Genki on Twitter had to announce that he extended his contract and he will be on loan to Düsseldorf, which might be a good chance for him to play.
Yes.
And if he's lucky, they will get promoted. They're in first place now, but they are declining. And we don't like Düsseldorf. No, we don't.
Okay.
No. I mean, it's, my father-in-law always calls it Dusselig Doof, not Dusseldorf. Dusselig Doof is a stupid idiot.
Okay.
Stupid idiotic. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, we don't like them. Ever since 2012 happened, well, the relegation, the game where they stormed the pitch and Hertha lost.
Oh, well, they came on the pitch just before it finished.
10 minutes before?
Yeah.
And then Hertha tried to protest.
Oh, that was a horrible year, that, wasn't it? Because that was when Otto Rehagel and, oh, the whole thing was a...
And before it was Babel.
Yeah. That whole year was a disaster, really. I think it should be deleted from history, that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No.
Yeah, and then, what else did we have?
What to talk about? You wanted to mention something.
My mum called.
Oh, hi, Mum.
Okay, you talk about Genki, or you talk about Kurt, and I'll be right back.
Well, what can I say? Jan's having to talk to his mum, which is... there you go. So, Genki, it appears, will be staying. I mean, there was talk of him going off to Brighton at the beginning of the season, but it never really happened. He's a fast player, but never really been quite convinced by his shooting at the end of it all. The last quarter never seems to come up there. He can make some really sort of startlingly good runs, but being able to finish it off with something else, you've got to be able to either shoot or pass at the end of it all. But hey, so that's Genki. He'll be playing at Dusseldorf, and we'll see how he does. Sinan Kurt, who's been languishing with the under-23 team at Hertha since he's arrived. He came back from the winter break in good shape, but not as good a shape as Hertha wanted him to be. I think he seems to sort of think of himself as being a big star, but coming back from the winter break in not quite such good shape.
He was in good shape. He was not in good shape at the... If you're talking about Kurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kurt was in...
It's not what Hertha were tweeting this morning.
No.
They were saying he was in good shape, but not in as good a shape as they wanted him to be.
So
what
sad.
Shape they wanted him to be, whether it was cucumber
Just
shape
get rid
or something.
Of him, but the thing is, who would want him? I mean, Genki, at least, he's in shape.
Well,
and he's training.
We saw him play in that under-23 game before Christmas.
He had a movement radius of 5 metres.
And he didn't really feature at all, did he? And for such a big star to be playing in the, what is it, the fourth tier? Fifth tier?
Fourth or fifth?
Fourth. The regional Northeast League, which is what the under-23s play in. And he didn't do anything at all, did he? He was... So if he's such a superstar, then you'd think he would be able to really shine against that kind of opposition, but apparently not. So, we will see.
I don't know what the whole Genki thing is still strange to me. I just want to get rid of Kurt. He was close to making the team once. He played, in the past 2 years, he played 5 minutes in the Bundesliga. He's just...
Yeah.
Bad.
We'll see. So that's those two.
Yeah. What else?
You wanted to mention something about the
Jahrstein. Jahrstein first.
Oh, Jahrstein. Yes.
But we sort of
mentioned that in that he's out with a.
But my first
thigh
reaction.
Muscle injury, but
my first reaction was, oh shit! I have to get new heart pills. You know how. He always... but we talked about that. So,
yeah,
Yashin will be out for 2 to 3 games. Let's hope that... But okay.
So that's Werder and
Hoffenheim. Tenerife.
Yes. I'll be watching the Hoffenheim game at a bar in Tenerife. So.
Simon is really... He's... Yeah. It's hardship.
It is.
Pure hardship.
It's a tough job, but somebody has to do it.
And where are you going? Just the house hotel or?
It's a hotel, yeah. We've got a hotel, but been there several times before.
And you drink sangria from a bucket?
From a bucket, yeah.
Through a straw?
Yeah. Yeah, just have it intravenous, really. I just have a little sack, a little rucksack of it. With a, yeah, like the runners, except for it just goes straight into the bloodstream. It's I haven't got blood, in fact. I've just got sangria. It's a well-known fact. But there's a nice little bar. Is it in Costa Adeji? Thereabouts, anyway. And it's called Bar Berlin, which is a cracking name. So, little bit of a joke.
Oh. Are there other Hertha fans?
I've seen Hertha stuff.
And the owner?
Braunschweig.
Oh.
It's who she supports.
Poor kid.
Oh, I forgot what she's called now. Sabina.
We'll be...
Must be another years.
We're expecting some nice Instagram stories and pictures.
Yeah, some photographs.
From Simon with Spanish...
I have to take my...
Drunk British tourist at a Hertha bar.
Nonsense, no. You go to a nice civilised bar like that and it's all very very good. Hertha shirt's already packed, ready to go.
We went to Spain and I wore my Hertha stuff every day.
And why not?
And then the guy at the bar, and we went to Kalpe, and the guy in the bar told me, "Oh, Hertha, I forgot what his team was. It wasn't Barcelona. They hate Barcelona down there because of the history. You know, it's País Valenciano, and they're south of Barcelona, so they don't they don't get along that well."
Yeah, okay, then.
Oh, I think he liked Atletico. Who doesn't? I mean, if I had to pick one of the three Spanish teams to root for, I would pick Atletico.
Hmm.
I like the stadium.
I don't follow Spanish football at all.
Me neither.
But
same with Premier League.
But
Premier what?
If I was to follow a Spanish team, in some ways, I would.
Bilbao.
I did like Bilbao. I really liked Bilbao.
They have a cool,
and some of their fans and things were really nice. I know Nico lost his phone and what have you, or had his phone pinched, but I really like Bilbao. But anyway, we digress completely once more,
which is our job.
Yes, and then we talked about all the players, I think.
Jahrstein or Plattenhardt? Plattenhardt was really outstanding.
Yeah, he did okay,
I think, in my opinion.
It's not one that the key ones that I sort of flagged up in a positive kind of way were Kraft, Selke and Lusty.
Lusty was really good.
He had a really good game, and you know, praise where it's due, I say.
Especially if you compare it to his games in Östersund or in Bilbao, where he was always a little bit.
But if you can unlock somebody when they're having bad games, you know, you should give them credit when they
such a turnaround. And he was always in the right spot.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have to be.
He made some great blocks and some really important tackles.
And
too,
I'm still gonna look up how many headers Niklas Stark had.
Yeah.
8,000
at least.
The thing is, the ball was always close to the box, but I never got worried.
Mm.
Especially this one shot.
Apart from that one occasion where everybody fell asleep, but hey,
happens.
It happens.
And as you said, a goal, a point against Dortmund is still good.
Yeah, it is good.
Okay.
Did you want to say something about this?
I have the exhibition and I have the project on my list.
Okay.
The exhibition, the Hertha exhibition, ended on a Sunday, the 7th of January. So once again, I went there and I recorded about, I don't know, 6 hours worth of people talking about Hertha, which is not really interesting for people from England, but we had an interview with the curators, and I was planning on interviewing them in English too, but the problem was that the German interview took like 3 hours and was really late, so I will contact them again and ask a few questions. So if you have any questions about the Hertha exhibition, you can ask them anywhere on the social media, or yeah. email us at info@dmtfpodcast.com.
That's the one.
Yeah. That was the exhibition. I loved it. And I met some nice people there.
We've talked about that before, but it was it was a very good exhibition. I enjoyed it too.
The thing is, when you walk to the third floor was shitty, in my opinion. But on the second floor, if you walk to the special room where they have the gloves of Gabor Kirai, and then the trophy that Preetz won when he scored the most goals in the league, and then you have all these old game scenes running. Oh,
yeah,
I always got goosebumps.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It was good.
Anyway, the project. One part of the exhibition was that a group of Hertha fans went to Auschwitz. How do you call it, Auschwitz or Oswiecim?
Oswiecim.
Yeah. Anyway, and it was a project called
Oswiecim is just
the Polish name.
But listeners, it's just the Polish name. What?
And I think it's always better to use the Polish name, so I don't get people don't think I want to get the borders back to it was 1939. Anyway, and there's this project, it's paid for, I think it's a cooperation between the Fanbetreuung and the Fan Project, where we often go, and it's basically just a place you can go and meet, watch games, or we went there once to paint banners for a game, remember?
Yes, I do.
Last year. Mm-hmm. We're going to go there soon to do our own. If we ever can agree.
Debate's still going on, is it?
Yeah, we had one.
You set up a doodle thing, didn't you?
I did one doodle, and then we had it, and then I couldn't reach them, and then now it's booked, and it's going back and forth. Okay. Anyway, it's done by these two. Last season they did research on, I keep forgetting his name, Hermann Horwitz, who was the team doctor during Hertha's most successful time.
He did, but also because he was sort of
a vanguard.
He was a vanguard of sort of team doctors and physio work and things in football. But he wasn't professional in those days. It wasn't up until the early 60s in Germany, but it was one of the top teams. He was right at the front. Of having sort of team doctors and working physically with players.
So diets. Diets.
Yeah, he's a really important guy in the history of football across the board, not just in Germany.
And Hertha made it to six consecutive finals and won two.
Mm.
Yeah. So this season they're doing it with somebody else in mind. Like last year they did a trip to Oswiecim. And I couldn't go, so I didn't partake in the project. And this season we have Eliasz Kaszke, who is a Polish Jew. And the thing, good thing is, if people are in Hertha's register, back in the day, now you and me, we're both members of Hertha, but we don't have anything, apart from going to the games, we don't have anything to do with the club. But back then you had so little or so few members that when every member had something to do at the club in some capacity. And he was brought to Sachsenhausen and killed there in 1941, I guess, or 42. And we went to they called the memorial. We went to the concentration camp memorial in Sachsenhausen for the weekend, and we did some research. Mm. And we're going to do some more research. And he died in 19. When did he die? I can't find right now. He was brought to Sachsenhausen and he died there.
Hmm.
Officially from an infected wound, but it's not always very trustworthy what they wrote there. He might have just been killed.
But it wasn't a death camp as such, was it? Sachsenhausen.
It was.
Was it?
But it wasn't as bad as...
Its function wasn't to murder people.
Yes, so. they had, but they didn't have as much as they had in Auschwitz. Mm. And what they did after, at some point, I think in 41, they just, or 39, they arrested all the Polish Jews they found, put them all in the camp, and the barracks were overcrowded, and then they just beat them to death.
Oh, nice.
Or people just died from the bad, from malnutrition, or they had to stand outside in the winter in below zero.
I mean, I went to Auschwitz many years ago now, and to look at the, because some of the huts were reconstructed there, and to think of the conditions that people lived in there in a Polish winter, you know, it must have been truly horrific.
Mm.
Truly horrific. It gets just so cold. And they had,
I've never been to Poland in the winter, I was about to say. But it must be way colder than here.
Yeah.
And even here it's cold.
The further east you go, you know, you get hot summers and cold winters, and perhaps the summers get hotter and the winters get colder. I mean, you haven't had a cold winter here, a really cold winter here for a long time now.
1983. I was five.
Young whippersnapper.
It was so cold.
Well, I mean, the last sort of coldish one here that I can remember must have been 2009-10, maybe.
Yeah, 2009-10. Yeah, that was cold.
There was a long time. I can remember hearing on the radio. It was like 45 days
sleighing.
Of snow.
It was so cold. I was sleighing. Usually here you have one snow day and then it's gone the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have any.
Because it was compacted ice and things on the paper. Even up on the Kudam, there was grit everywhere, but there was sort of like 2-inch thick compacted ice.
And don't eat the yellow snow.
Definitely not.
Okay, so
good advice.
We did the weekend there, and I'll talk about it some more when.
Yeah.
When we did this one weekend and a workshop, and then everybody has their. Their tasks set out for them next. Tomorrow I'm going to the Landesarchiv, the Archive of Berlin, looking for information on him.
Mm. It's worth saying for listeners coming to Berlin from outside, whether that's from England or
anywhere.
Not from here. I mean, Sachsenhausen's a sobering place to go and visit if you get an opportunity, just to remember. But also going out to the Olympic Village from 36. Difficult to get to. I think you can get a bus out there. I think I drove out there when I went.
I drove there, but there must be an S-Bahn station. Oranienburg.
No, there's not a S-Bahn close. I think you'd have to use a bus, or a combination of S-Bahn and bus.
It's
worth a visit, though.
People went there on the S-Bahn. The O1 goes to Oranienburg, and then we shuttled them over.
Sachsenhausen. It's the end of the S1, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought you were talking about the Olympic Village.
Oh no, sorry, I didn't.
Because that
I wasn't paying attention.
No, you weren't paying attention. He's terrible.
I was looking at the time indexes.
You can't get the staff. That's the trouble.
I'm the one who has to. I'm the one who has to. Yeah, the Olympic Village is far out, but it's interesting.
It is interesting. There's a lot of remaining. It featured actually in what's it called? That American Homeland. It did. It was in Homeland. Can't remember which episode, what series, because it's been about 20 series of it. But
Potsdam is often used for historic movies, like the Tarantino one, Inglourious Basterds, was also shot in Babelsberg.
Right.
Because it's always the same street. They have this one street setup. And I have a friend who does historic garments, and she once came up with shoes and, hey, these are for Inglourious Basterds, and I have to go there and do a fitting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never been to the Olympic Village because it's so far, but it's really, really interesting. There's documentaries on it, and I've never been to the...
Because Jesse Owens' hut is there, and you can go in there and wander around, which is great. The practice swimming pool and things is there. They've been slowly repairing it. Some of it's in a bit of a poor state, to be honest, but it was quite a few years ago I went there. Anyway,
it's the thing is that
worth a visit if you can get out there, if you're visiting the city.
I have a problem with Jesse Owens, though, but never mind. Because in 1968 he was sent in as the Uncle Tom to convince the players, athletes not to boycott the Olympic Games. There's a story about his brother who won Olympic medal too. No, not his brother. The brother of Jackie Robinson, who broke the color barrier in baseball. he integrated baseball. And his brother won an Olympic medal, and then he came home to find the only job for an Olympic champion was to sweep the streets. And he had a defiant streak to him, so he put he sweeped the streets of the city he lived in, wearing his trainers and his gold medal around his neck.
Good on him.
Which is a nice story.
Yeah, it is a nice story.
Digressing again.
Yes, once again.
Exhibit projects. Talked about that. Anything else? Okay, Genki is gone to Düsseldorf. Happy trails. I just don't know how long they he's going to stay with Hertha. Because they said maybe they just...
Well, if he's out on loan there and he gets game time, because he's had very little at Hertha, certainly recently.
After the red card?
It depends what he ends up doing, doesn't it, when he's away. If he shines a light, then...
Especially since the second league is different.
Yes. We'll see. Anyway.
I think his old contract went till... It started... No, his contract ran out in the summer. So on the 30th of... when you know, the football year ends on the 30th of June and the football year starts on the 1st of July.
Hmm.
So they just extended his contract, so... Maybe they can just... If he does well there, they will buy him and we get something in return. But then he was only bought for, I think, 250,000, 500,000 euros.
It was quite cheap, wasn't it? Because he was... Yeah,
he came from Urawa Red Diamonds.
unknown Japanese player coming in. Yeah.
He cried. I watched the video and he cried when he was going away. And it was just funny to me because I always figured that Japanese people never show emotion in public.
Apparently not.
But he looked like one of these boy band stars, you know, hair coloured and everything. I always liked him. But
just like me, then. What are you laughing for?
I think he had trouble adjusting to Germany, and then...
Well, when he came, I was saying earlier on that...
he never really...
You know, when he came, at the time, Hossegai was still at Hertha, and the idea was he was supposed to sort of mentor him, because he had been in Berlin for a while beforehand, but...
he was gone.
Then he was gone, so...
I think he went to Augsburg, no, I don't know. He was gone.
He went wherever Jos Luhukay went to at that time, which
Stuttgart.
Because he took him with him, didn't he?
He always took him with him. He was in Augsburg, he was at Hertha.
He was on a string.
Yeah, he has favorite players.
Mm.
And he just moved back to Kashiwa Reysol. But before, I wonder where he played. Must be Stuttgart. Because he went to Stuttgart, Luhukay went to Stuttgart, and then he took all his players with him. And then he quit, and then all the players were stranded there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I quite liked Hossegai back in the day. But fell out of favour.
In the second division, he was doing well.
Mm.
Solid.
Didn't really quite cut it coming up, though.
It happens.
Jos Luhukay, he's gone to Sheffield Wednesday, isn't he?
Oh yeah, and there were rumours about Langkamp going to Sheffield.
Really?
Yeah. But I think they're totally unfounded. Why would
he do that?
Yeah.
That would be...
He's an important first team player, yeah, at least.
He's a good, solid player. Yeah. No, I can't see that.
He's like the daddy of the defence. You know, we have a young Rekic.
Unless he has something about cutlery or something. I can't see him going to...
Cutlery?
Sheffield's very famous for making...
Oh, the like Solingen in Germany. So, okay.
So, anyway.
Didn't know. Oh, the word...
No reason why you should.
I picked you up in the car and you were talking about this one word I didn't know about. It was Pomo. The coal guy. Remember?
Pomo?
Yeah, I talked about the one word on the video, and it's positions of maximum opportunity.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't remember what the guy... It was a... The thing is, it was a black British national, international, so there were so many. No, Campbell... what was the other guy? Tony... Paul Ince? But it wasn't him. Anyway, it was a video and somebody said I looked like the guy, which is totally not true. Here. Carlton Cole.
Oh, Carlton Cole.
Carlton Cole. I'll link the video. And the guy doesn't look anything like me, especially that he's wearing the wrong jacket.
Yes.
Of West Brom, which I would never put on.
Mm. Baggies.
Baggies?
That's what they're called, West Brom. I think.
Why?
I've no idea.
With baggy pants or?
Perhaps so.
Stupid. Yeah, I never watch much. Oh, I met Andy Green at the game. Did you meet him too?
No.
He was gone when you came. Andy Green is a groundhopper based in Berlin who goes everywhere. If you look at his Twitter account, he's going anywhere. 7th League, 8th League. We were talking to him with Anna and he was saying that he would be watching... he just came back from England and he watched... What's the... Leighton Orient game.
Oh, yes.
And he was so upset because you can't take pictures there.
What?
Yeah.
I take pictures everywhere.
Yeah, but you're not allowed... And I think it's... What is it? 7th? 5th? 4th league?
Leighton Orient? No, they can't be that low. Sure.
But they're low. I think they're pretty low. With my limited knowledge of British football.
I have no idea.
But aren't they? Isn't there the big thing that they're always bad? They always suck?
It's lots of teams that do that.
Oh dear. Leighton Orient. Where do they play? National League.
Oh, there you go.
What's that?
No idea.
Fifth
tier.
They're 19th played in the 5th tier, so that's kind of low. And you can't take pictures there. Just imagine us going to the Hertha U23 game and somebody saying you can't take pictures there.
How are they going to possibly enforce that with phones?
Did they even have security at the game, remember? The
one with the 23s?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, people on the gate. They nominally sort of
search, at the gate, yeah. Search bags and things. At the gate,
What, in the stand? These people milling around. I don't think so.
Britain.
There's people there that stop you sort of, you know, going into the changing rooms and things. And
it's all... All Thatcher's fault. That bitch.
It's the Tories. It's all the Tories' fault.
The Tories.
Anyway,
the Tories.
We digress. This is not a political podcast.
Yet. Oh, do you see these Brexit stamps?
Oh, those were excellent. Those were excellent. Oh, well, I did enjoy those.
I linked them too.
Yeah.
I like the one with Wile E. Coyote.
I don't remember that one. I remember the one with... There was one with Theresa May... with a whole string of Brexiteers along behind us, boldly marching over the cliff.
I like the one with the guy with the bow, who shot himself in the face.
Yes, with the arrow pointing backwards, so he shot himself. There's another one with a pistol being held up to your boot, so to shoot yourself in the foot.
And there was Wile E. Coyote, was the whole set, and he was, you know, Wile E. Coyote, who always chases the roadrunner and always falls down the cliff.
Something horrible happens.
It was all these pictures of him, and it was Brexit.
Yeah. I saw a Brexit burger being advertised.
Oh yeah, I saw that too.
In a bar. Do you see me? I tweeted that.
I was on Twitter, yeah.
Was it on Twitter or WhatsApp or perhaps I did it on that. Anyway, we digress.
Somewhere on social media. Yeah. So we passed the hour mark. I think our job is done.
I think we're done.
So what's the next game?
Perhaps we could do something. Try and do something via Skype, so we could talk about Bremen and Hoffenheim.
Oh, you won't be there for the Hoffenheim game.
I won't be there for Hoffenheim.
Yeah, we have to talk about that.
I could. We could try and organise something, rather. So we could do one away and one at home, even though I'm not there. I could record something when I was in Tenerife. So sounds of crashing waves and chinking glasses,
and Spanish.
See if I can find a Hertha fan to talk to.
Buenos dias, necesito una cerveza por favor.
That's the one. Yeah.
Pero sin gluten.
Except for I can't. I went up to because with my faltering German and asked in the bar if they had any gluten free beer, but they don't.
But I found gluten free beer in the supermercado in Spain.
You can get it. Yeah, in Spain they just didn't have it in this German bar, but. They do have big screens and they do have football, so...
And at the hotel, do they have gluten-free food?
It's excellent hotel, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's if they haven't changed it, I really hope they haven't. It's one of the best hotels I've come across anywhere for a gluten-free breakfast.
Anywhere.
Anywhere at all. I've been to some quite good ones, but that place was outstanding. But enough of that.
Simon's going to launch his Fika podcast soon.
Yes. Gluten-free Fika.
Yeah. So, that's a wrap.
I put Fika in runes on my Twitter account, and nobody reacted to it at all.
In runes?
I've taken it away now.
Who can read runes?
I used to write in runes when I was a teenager, but I'm probably a bit weird.
Why?
I just did.
Why would you?
I just did. I've taken it off now, so...
But you also
I was disappointed that nobody reacted to my runes. You have multiple accounts. It was my Ethernet one. I've changed it back to Fika.
Who can read them?
Me.
See, more with Fika. I didn't even see it.
No, nobody noticed that, did they?
Because I don't follow you at all. Cake. Follow me if you like. You have to put Fika in your bio.
I think Cake's in there.
Yeah, Cake, but Cake's not Fika. Anyway.
We digress.
As we said, we're done. Everybody, is there any holiday coming up in England? No. Everybody enjoy the rest of winter?
Yeah. And I'll be enjoying a bit of summer.
So it's a goodbye from me?
And it's goodbye from him.
See ya.
Bye.